He sees everything that you've been through. Life can be hard, but God is good. And that hard shell that's wrapped around your heart because life is hard, it's put a hard shell around your heart. God wants to crack that shell so he can get to the interior of the softness of your heart. So it's not too difficult for him, because there is goodness in you. There's a soft interior in you, and God wants to crack that hard shell and peel away the layers of all the hurts, all the things that you've been through in life. Trust me, I know. I'm a testimony of a hard heart. But he's, over the years, he's cracked me. And then you get to that tough layer part, that tough skin part. But he can peel it away and soften up your edges. So God is good. He's faithful. And if you're new here today, Pastor and Mary Ann aren't here today, so I'm covering for them. And so this message, I'm calling it Seasons of Change. This is the word that the Lord had given me for us today. So, Father, you have a plan and a purpose for this service today, which you have already been in, Lord. Holy Spirit, make it happen. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of this year, we have our annual business meeting every year. So if you don't attend, please attend. It was my turn to read the scripture reading, and I read it out of Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 in the NLT. And it says, "Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I believe that we are entering into a new season of change for this church and for you personally. A new season of renewed hope, renewed strength, and renewed trust in the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing us. He's drawing us closer into a deeper relationship with him. And it's up to us to respond to that drawing. If we want change, we have to respond. Verse 31 says, it's those who wait on the Lord. Are you one of those who want to take the time and wait on the Lord and renew your strength? This means not everyone is going to make that choice and make that decision. This has to be a choice that we have to make for ourselves. This word wait isn't talking about waiting for God to do something or make something happen. It's not a passive wait, but it's an active wait. And it's an active wait on our part. It's not about a future happening. It's an active present state. It exists now in the current moment. The Hebrew meaning for the word wait is kava, if I'm saying that right, which means to entwine, to twist, or to bind together. When Holy Spirit draws us and we respond, he is binding, he's twisting us together with him, and we become stronger, and he's able to build up your strength in him. He's able to build up your hope. He's able to build up your trust. It's just like a rope with many strands. It's stronger. It's twisted so tightly that you can't find the end from the beginning. You're inseparable. That's how the Lord wants our relationship to be with Him. He wants that more than we want it for ourselves. He wants that more. John 15:5 in the New King James. I don't know if, yeah. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Apart from the vine, we lose hope. We lose our strength. And we lose our trust in God. How many times have we got distracted and been pulled away? And Lord, is this ever going to happen? You know, we lose that trust. That's why we have to stay wound up in Him. David wrote in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said it twice in that one small little verse, wait on the Lord. That's an active wait in wrapping ourselves in the Word, in prayer, every time that we get, spending it with Him. David wrote this psalm when he was being pursued by his enemies. He said, be of good courage. This is a faith-driven strength and boldness to face any fears or challenges in your life with determination and confidence. David put his confidence in God. He trusted Him. He trusted His character and His promises. And trust me, I know, and I'm sure many of you do too, but He's faithful. Even when the bad times in life seem like they were so bad, He was still good. He was still good in those times. That's why the Lord said about David that he was a man after His own heart. We have to be men and women who are after God's own heart. The Amplified Classic says, those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him shall change and renew their strength and power. Something happens inside when we bind ourselves to the Lord. It's a change that begins to take place and transforms us from the beginning. Something happens. It transforms us. But in that, He mounts us up like wings of eagles. This mounting up with wings like eagles, this symbolizes the power and freedom that comes from relying on God, soaring above every challenge and difficulty that we may have. We have to soar above that. We have to mount up, which means to go up, to ascend, to go over the boundary of what's in your way. Run and not be weary. This is the ability to persevere and overcome obstacles without being exhausted. We're fueled by God's strength. When we're relying on God, it's His strength. I can't do this on my own. It's His strength. I have to rely on Him. We have to rely on Him in everything we do. Let His strength strengthen you and empower you. They'll walk and not faint. This emphasizes the ability to continue in daily life with endurance and resilience, even in the face of hardship, because of God's support. God's supporting us. He's lifting us up. He's taking us up. It's a supernatural renewal taking place inside of you. John 3:5-6, it says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So to be born of God, to be born of the Spirit, is to have the divine nature, the divine life imparted into your being. The divine life that is now in you is the renewing element in your being. So when you're struggling in your natural, we all have a sin nature, but God, when we're struggling with that sin nature, it's the renewing element that's taking place inside of us that renews us, that strengthens us, so that we don't have to live in that sin nature anymore. The Holy Spirit is making those changes in you. He's renewing you. To renew is to make something new and fresh again. He's restoring you. He's restoring that sin nature. You have a new being that we can live by, and that's His nature in us. Through this supernatural renewal that takes place in you, causes you to begin to function out of His nature. That then we can live our lives through Him. That's where it comes in, that we live and move and have our being in Him. We move in Him because it's His nature in us. And when we lock in with Him, instead of giving into our flesh, we'll live out of His nature. In Acts 17:28, for in Him we live. Okay, I read that. We have to move in harmony with Him, with the Holy Spirit. That means when He stops, you stop. When He moves, you move. We have to stay in alignment with Him. We flow out of Him. It's time for the body of Christ to be actively seeking the Lord, actively waiting on Him, making Him a vital necessity in your life, allowing Him to change and renew you. All the junk that you want to get rid of, that you can't seem to get rid of, allow that element, that His inner being, to move on the inside of you so that you're flowing out of Him instead of out of our flesh. Jeremiah 29:13 says, then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. The adjective meaning for vital means necessary to life. This is necessary to life. Extremely important or full of life and energy. It's vital. It's vital for our life to seek the Lord. It's vital for you. If you want to live, you have to seek the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. Nothing in us is good except for God. So we have to rely on His righteousness. We have to live by His righteousness, His goodness, His kindness, His love, His patience, self-control, faithfulness, all these things. We have to live out of Him. The word seek in the Hebrew means a thorough search of inquiry, like investigating or inquiring into God's will, to seek to find and take hold of something, to request it. We have to take hold of God, take hold of His word. Silas, I don't know if there's... I hear a scratching. We are almost at the end of the year. Before you know it, we'll be starting a new year. Change is coming. Every season we go through, it looks different. In the spring, we see the rain bringing new growth. The flowers are starting to bloom. The summer, we will feel the warmth of the sun. The fall, everything is falling and preparing itself to fall asleep. and winter, everything becomes dormant. It's resting and waiting for springtime again. So seasons come and seasons go. And we have to have a willing heart to surrender to the Lord so that the seasons the Lord brings into our lives will blossom, they'll bloom. Even in the winter, when it's dormant, there's still action going on underneath the ground, preparing for the new season to come. So things are going to change. Things are going to change in your life, and we need to be prepared for them. That's why we need to seek the Lord and His will. God's taking Living Waters Chapel into a new season, a new chapter with new opportunities. Living Waters Chapel began in the winter of 1978, January of 1978, okay? It has been 47 years this past January 2025 since a small group began to function as a church. This means Living Waters Chapel has gone through 47 winters, 47 springs, 47 summers, and we are now in the 47th year of fall. The fall of the year is 47. What does 47 symbolize? In biblical context, the number 47 symbolizes spiritual growth, perseverance, and fulfillment of God's promises. We've been waiting a long time. Perseverance means to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or not prospect of success. Over the years, Living Waters Chapel has gone through many different seasons, many different changes. Some of those seasons were good and some were challenging. But the Lord seen them all. He was in the midst of every single one of those times. He never left us. He never forsook us. He strengthened us. As we sought Him, He strengthened us. And He moved. He had the room to move and do what He wanted to do in this place. And we are still going 47 years later. He was faithful, and He kept us faithful. He kept us strengthened with hope and trust in Him. But we have to stay the course. We have to stay the course. That means to stay entwined with God, pursuing His plans and not our own. We don't pursue our own plans. We pursue His plans. We have 7.964 acres of property here that the Lord gave us to steward over. Over the years, people have had prophecies and visions about different buildings that would be built on this property. I personally remember there would be a school. There would be a television station. Of course, now we have podcasts. These visions have been in the waiting period for a long while. But I believe God wants us to expect that these visions will come to pass, and we have to have that expectant hope. We have to expect it. Hope can mean like we're waiting for something to happen. But expectant means we're expecting it now. When I want my kids to do something, I expect them to do it and get it done. I'm not being demanding to God. I'm expecting Him to honor His promises. That's what I'm expecting. For Him to honor His promises. And we need to remind Him of His promises. There have been times, many times, that I've heard in this place that Jesus died. The Father has said, "My Son died for your healing." If He died for our healing, He died over 2,000 years ago. We need to be expectant of that healing. We need to take it. Right. Take it and believe for it. God is healing you. Healing's your. Take that. Don't. You believe his word. You believe his word. This is the report you believe. I heard Pastor Hagen prophesy one time, and the word of the Lord was not it shall be, but it is. Not it shall be, but it is. The Holy Spirit reminded me about Jesus' prayer. He said, on earth as it is in heaven. It is. That's now. You're healed now. Your finances are growing now. Whatever it is. We have to believe God's word, his promises. We have to see what he sees. He's not a man that he should lie. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We have to make his desires our desires. They have to become ours. We have to own his desires. Giving up what we want and surrendering to his will. Don't assume you know what God wants for you in this season just because it's what you used to do or you know how to do something. Or it's what you want to do. You have to quiet your mind before the Lord and allow him to speak directly to you so you know what he wants you to do in this season, in this change that's taking place. A new path is rising up. And as you stay on the path, as you stay the course that he has you on, or you will begin to have a new perspective. You will see things clearer. You will begin to see his perspective. The Lord said to me, I think this was last year when he said this to me, do you see what I see? In Amos 7:8, he asked Amos, what do you see? God wanted to engage Amos in a divine vision and to emphasize the importance of spiritual perception and understanding. Amos was able to identify what God wanted him to see and it allowed God to explain its deeper meaning to him. So that's why we have to seek the Lord, sit quietly before him so we can see what he sees. So we can get it in here. We can understand it and know it. Jeremiah 33:3, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. And like I told the ladies at the Bible study, I love secrets. I love secrets. I want to know God's secrets. I want to know them all. And that can't happen if you are distracted with negative influences. You have to make a point to separate yourself and get alone with God. In Mark 8:22-25, and I know this is a story about a blind man, but there's some points that I want to make out of here. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Jesus had to lead this blind man out of the town to receive his healing. Bethsaida was a small town in Galilee. It was a place where several miracles were performed. Enough of them that Jesus could say, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you were performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Bethsaida had to come to represent those who heard the gospel, understood God's plan of salvation, but rejected it. I believe Jesus led this man out of town because there was bad influences around him. There was, and the influences were unbelief. So Jesus spit on his eyes. Our eyes are a gate that if we aren't careful, we can allow a lot of negative influences in, and that will distract us and pull us away and cause unbelief to enter into our minds. Jesus used his spit, which to me represents the spit of unbelief. Because if you think about it, Moses, the Lord reminded me about it, this is symbolic. When the Israelites were sinning in the wilderness, he sent snakes, serpents, and they bit the people and they would die. But then he had them take make a snake and put it up on the pole, which was symbolic that every time they looked at that snake, they would be forgiven and they would be healed. So to me, this spit, it was a spit of unbelief. The blind man saw men who looked like trees walking around. But again, Jesus put his hands on his eyes and made him look up. Jesus made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So if a new path is rising, you have to look up. We can't be spiritually blind. Our eyes have to be opened. They have to be healed. The higher the Lord takes you, the clearer you will see. And I know I experienced that. Then you won't be distracted by all the things that want to make us feel like it's not going to happen or it's just, you know. Your focus has to be on Jesus. Unbelief or the unbelief is going to set in. Psalms 121, 1 through 2, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You have to look beyond what you see in the natural and look up to see in the spiritual. If you have a mountain that is blocking your view, and you want to see what's on the other side, move it. Move it. You have authority, move it. Tell it to get into the sea. Uproot that thing and put it into the sea. Throw it in there. A while back, it may have been a couple years ago, the Lord had spoke to my mom and I, my mother, separately, but around the same time, about Living Waters Chapel. We were talking one day, and we realized he had been saying the same thing to both of us. We both heard, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Mark 10:9, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Asunder means apart, divided. Joined in the Hebrew means to be united, to become one. What God has united, his purpose is to become one. Let no one separate or divide. It says, let no one. Doesn't say, don't let the enemy. It says, don't let no one separate and divide. Living Waters Chapel was designed to becoming as one in Christ. One body, one mind, one spirit. He said, let no one separate or divide. Over the years, people have come into this fellowship with the intent to sow division among this body. Paul urged the believers in 1 Corinthians to agree with one another and that there be no division among them. He encouraged them to be united as the church. This church is not about you or me. This church is about Jesus. It's his church, and it's his plans, and it's his purposes, and it's him that kept it going for 47 years and beyond. It belongs to him. But the enemy likes to bring people in to cause division to sow it, like the word was this morning, there's tares among the wheat. We have to be aware of spiritual eyes have to be open to that so that we can see those tares. But like the Father said, not to destroy them, but to love them, to get them back on track. And there's more in the Bible about that. If they don't want to receive that, well, I guess you got to boot them. You know? You just got to boot them. One reason the church was divided, this is what the Bible says, one reason the church was divided at that time was over which leader was their favorite and who they thought was most important to follow. Divisions in a church is destructive and hinders the body from their ability to grow and mature spiritually. The enemy wants to stop you from growing. He doesn't want you operating in what God has called you to do. So Paul commands the believers to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We have to have peace in this place. We have to have peace. There shouldn't be any discord in this place. God put in motion a plan for LWC long before she was even created. She was created with a purpose and with intention. Intention refers to a conscious plan or goal to do something, a desired outcome or a state of purpose, a prior decision to act. So God planned for her. He planned for her. God consciously planned to use her for much more than we can imagine. He planned for her success. And, you know, a lot of the churches that are doing all this woke, their doors are shutting. But we have to keep the Holy Spirit welcomed in this place all the time, all the time. And we are the church. So we have to welcome that Holy Spirit in us to do what he wants to do. She is his bride, and nothing or no one can or will ever separate her from the love of God. Her foundation has already been laid, and it will never change. But it's up to us to build on it. It's up to us to be good stewards over her. And I want to continue about that number 47. The number 47 I mentioned already, it holds a significance in the Hebrew biblical numerology. Four is often associated with the earthly creation and the material world. It represents stability, structure, and the foundational aspect of existence. Think of the four seasons or the directions of the four corners of the earth. All these reflect the idea of completeness in the order of the physical world. Seven is a number of divine perfection and spiritual fulfillment. It is seen throughout the body as a marker of sacredness and completeness. This number signifies the pinnacle of God's creative work and spiritual perfection. So when you combine these two numbers, 47 takes on a unique meaning. It symbolizes the connection between the earthly realm and the spiritual realm. This combination suggests a journey towards spiritual fulfillment where the stability and structure of the world represented by four are integrated with the divine completeness and the spiritual perfection represented by seven. In practical terms, the number 47 can be associated with themes of restoration and abundance. We have to connect the world with the spiritual. That's what we're called to do, to connect with the world, but with the spiritual. Our spiritual lives need to connect with them, or they're not going to know. I don't think we realize what God has blessed us with in this place. I don't think we really know the depth of why Living Waters Chapel is here. We've heard it, but I don't know if it's really gotten down deep in here. It's so important to stay focused and bind ourselves to the Holy Spirit, because what we do, he is the one who will make it effective. He's the one, as long as we're on his path and we're following that path, he'll make everything effective for us. The enemy would love to get us off course and get us out of alignment with God's will. Recently, the Lord brought to our attention about quibbling that was going on in the church. He basically was telling us to stop it. Stop your quibbling. And I know what he was talking about, because I have 3 children, 10 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandkids, so I know how to stop it. Scold them and say, stop it. God is saying, stop it. Quibbling is just a distraction from the enemy to keep your focus off of what really matters. It's to bring division so that the promises of God for you and for us here, Living Waters Chapel, are hindered. If he can distract you over here with worldly affairs and concerns, then you're going to miss it over here, where it really matters the most. I had to make sure when I said this, because I thought, oh Lord, the left is the left and the right is, because I'm left-handed, so it's like I have to, over here, and you know the right and the left, get it? Yeah. Over here, we're pulled by the flesh, but over here, it's the important things. It's the spiritual things. Quibbling is raising objections about trivial matters. It's arguing. It's arguing over unimportant things rather than the real point. What is the real point? That we are here. Matthew 16:13-18, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that the Son of Man is? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you, Peter, are on this rock. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. And he's talking about the whole church. Peter declared Christ as the Son of the living God. This revelation was given to Peter by God the Father. It was declared on this revelation that the church, the ecclesia, would be built. It was based on that revelation, and it would be built on the true rock, which is Jesus Christ. The real point is that our lives are built on Jesus. It's not built on us. It's built on Jesus, and that we are glorifying him in everything we do, and that our character that's so important that it reflects him. So don't concern yourselves with trivial matters. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. God has a place for us all. Your calling and your gifts are important to him. He is not through with any of us. He has exciting blessings that are waiting ahead of you. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. He wants to use you to advance his kingdom, and he's going to use those gifts he's given you to do that. 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul is talking to Timothy in a letter. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Paul said, fan into the flame the gift of God. Well, the flame needs oxygen. It needs oxygen in order to keep burning, to stay lit. Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep the flame burning. Fan into the flame. Don't let it go out. Give the flame oxygen so it can grow into a fire. You have to allow the wind or the breath of God to blow on that flame of your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, but one of the effects of the Holy Spirit is the wind of the Spirit. Let that wind of the Holy Spirit, let him blow in you. Wind has oxygen because of the movement of the air. When we allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, his movement is causing your flame to grow until it grows into that fire. And what does fire do? It spreads. Paul is encouraging Timothy to develop the gift he was given. The more you develop your gift, the more it will grow. But to develop your gift, you have to use your gift. This is what the Lord said. Some of you have gifts that God has given you. He's given you gifts. We all have gifts, but sometimes we don't all recognize them yet. But some of you, God has given you gifts, and you have yet to unwrap them. They're still sitting there waiting for you to pick them up and unwrap them. God wants you to unwrap your gift so he can see the excitement on your face. Now, of course, I told him when he gave me this gift, I think he laughed at my facial expression. He wants you to enjoy the gift he has given you. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know how to use my gift. Well, it came with an instruction manual. Just open it up and read it. Some of you are saying that you don't know. Did I say that? You don't know how to use it? Yeah, I did. Some of you know how to use it, but you're afraid to use it. You're afraid. But you're not going to, it's not going to, the Holy Spirit cannot make your gift effective until you step out in faith and use it. And the more you step out in faith, every step you take in that, you take a step of faith, it begins to grow. We have to stop having fear over what people think. I'm getting to that point where it's like, even if I get it wrong, God's not too big to correct it. I have to fear him. I have to use that gift. And I know some people can't be gracious. And that's a religious spirit. When they say, well, that wasn't right, or, you know, so what? Do it anyways. Because the more you do it, the more it'll grow. And then it gets easier. This process of change is a hopeful one. It's not a fearful one. Does this mean there won't be any challenges? Most likely there will be, because now when you step out in faith, you're a bigger threat to the kingdom of darkness. And once you come up higher, new level, new devil. He's going to challenge you even more. Fear will keep you from moving forward if you let it. It can make you feel trapped so you won't move. But the Bible tells us, fear not, for I'm with you. My spirit is with you. That doesn't mean we won't feel the feeling of fear, but we can do it anyways. We don't have to let it control us. We have to do it anyways. What is God's will for us? That the glory of the Lord would be praised in this place. Ezekiel 3:12 says that the glory of the Lord would be praised in this place. You know, when we're doing what we're supposed to do, using our gifts, using our talents, meeting together and doing that, we will praise him. It's not hard to praise him. That's what he wants. We're supposed to be praising him in this place with our whole heart, with true hearts. That God's presence is always welcome. His presence is everywhere we are. He's with you, and he sees all things, and he knows all things. Not only are we to entwine ourselves to the Lord, but together as well in peace, love, and unity, forgiving one another just as we have been forgiven. What happened to love covers a multitude of sins? That's my question today for you. What happened to love covers a multitude of sins? Living Waters Chapel is a work of God. It was born of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Any ministry initiated by God is a work of God, and it runs on grace. The amount of grace manifested in a God-ordained ministry depends on how much faith is exercised with grace. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He has to be the focus. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It said, well, it is still called today, this day. Don't put off what God is calling you to do today. For this is the day the Lord has made. As long as it's called today, you need to act today. This is a call of urgency. It is the present moment, a time of faithfulness and obedience, a time of seizing every opportunity the Lord puts in front of you. In this verse, it is a call of urgency to exhort one another. It's a warning against the hardening of one's heart. It's a warning against spiritual danger of becoming insensitive or resistant to God's voice. Don't be like the Israelites who repeatedly were disobedient, and it caused the hardening of their hearts. It didn't happen all at once, but gradually, that's what happens when we harden our heart, when we allow that sin to take root. It slowly makes our hearts hard. A gradual process that comes from neglecting God's spiritual discipline. We are commanded to love one another, to forgive those who hurt us and persecute us. It says to exhort one another daily. To exhort one another daily, it's like, wow, Lord. The word daily means to make it necessary. It's a necessary part of your life. That vital part of your walk of faith as a believer in Christ, it's necessary for life. To exhort one another, it's necessary for life, for our spiritual life. You can't live without it if you're going to survive. To exhort is to encourage one another, not judge one another. John 7:24 says, be honest in your judgment and do not decide at a glance, superficially and by appearances, but judge fairly and righteously. This means if you're going to make a judgment against someone, then it has to be based on the word of God, not mere appearances or personal opinions. Righteous judgment seeks justice and restoration. That's how you judge. You judge with love. You judge so that your restoring that person. The Bible says, don't be a stumbling block to someone, but encourage one another in a way, in such a way that we are building each other up in faith and helping each other to avoid sin, not participate in it. The Greek word for exhort is parakleo, which means to call to one's side. This emphasizes the importance of mutual encouragement and accountability within the church. We all have faced times of discouragement. Sometimes it can be worse than other times. Elijah struggled with discouragement so bad that he wanted to die. But an angel of the Lord came and rescued him and pulled him out of the pit of discouragement. And as believers, we need to encourage one another in the Lord. The book of Acts teaches about the early church and how they encouraged one another. They practiced meeting regularly. They fellowshiped together. They listened to teachings together, and they prayed together. In Acts 2, 42 through 43, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. To devote is to give all or large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or cause. They came together as one body and one spirit, the body of Christ, with the Holy Spirit within them. Then it says, I want to read the Amplified of that verse 43. It says, and a sense of awe. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Okay? This awe was a reverence for God. The word awe is related to the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And a sense of awe, reverential fear. Now, this isn't fearing God that he's going to strike you with lightning. This is a reverence of his holiness, of his goodness, of who he is. It says in the Amplified, and a sense of awe, reverential fear, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messenger. The fear of the Lord came upon every soul. Well, what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. What you want, what you think, and what you feel. That's what your soul is. The reverential fear, the awe of the Lord, came upon their soul first. Then, many miracles. Then it says the apostle performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. They were completely surrounded. They were completely surrendered to the Lord in their soul, in their mind, their will, and their emotions. So many times we have junk in our soul that is hindering those signs, miracles, and wonders that we're praying about. If you read that, he said they were in awe first. Then the signs and miracles and wonders were performed by the apostles. They were able to receive those. So, anyways, that's that. I just wanted to make that point that you guys could see that we have to be in awe of God first. If we want to see signs, miracles, and wonders in this place, we have to be in awe in our soul. Our spirit is well. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, and I'm just about done. And I'm sure some of you are like, thank God. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Generosity brings joy. When we're generous, it brings joy. Serving others should always not be done reluctantly, but willingly. If you're going to have a reluctant heart, then don't do it. Just don't do it. Do it with joy, because you're doing it for the Lord. It should be a natural response among believers, especially within the body. Acts 2:4, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their numbers, to their fellowship, those who were being saved. So God added to their numbers. As they came together as one, they were strengthened, they saw signs and miracles, and the numbers went up in their fellowship. And then 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for perfect hearts towards him. When our hearts are perfect toward him, he counts us as perfect and works with us while that perfection becomes more and more real in our lives. We are all still dealing with things in our flesh, but those who have a willing heart have a blameless heart, because God is able to change them. They're willing to be changed. God shows himself strong. God will show himself to be true through you when your heart is perfect toward him. So we were called to be a lighthouse. That light comes from within, and it goes out. We have to take that light of Christ with us so it can go out. Now, I just want to read this one thing that the Lord gave me. In Ezekiel 2, actually, I really need my phone. I want to read it out of this. Thank you. It says, stand up. This is Ezekiel 2, 1 through 4. Stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. Son of man, he said, I'm sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-hearted people, but I'm sending you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. So the Lord said, in other words, stand up, sons and daughters of Living Waters Chapel. I want to speak to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Listen carefully to my words. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I'm sending you to a nation that is rebelling against me. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Get rid of all your fractions and turn to me. Seek repentance and reconciliation, says the Lord. I didn't know what that word fraction meant when he said it, so I looked it up. And it refers to spiritual and relational divisions, things that cause division and separation among the body. in our own personal lives. It's discord and conflict, sin and selfishness. So that's the word of the Lord today. So, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak your word for you. Lord, I know and I trust that this word penetrated their hearts. Father God, I ask that you bless them as they go this week, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that your presence, your Holy Spirit would be felt in all that they do, Lord God. I ask that you would give them a heart to seek you in a deeper way, Lord. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless Pastor Marianne. Bring them back to us safely, Lord, in Jesus' name. So if you have any prayer requests or anything you want prayer for, the prayer team can come up, and they'll pray for you, whatever your need is.